Let's pray. Living God, help us hear your holy word that we may truly comprehend it. That in understanding we may believe, and in believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is found in 1 Peter, the second chapter, the second verse through the 10th verse. Hear now the word of God. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will not be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. I want to begin by saying thank you for being hospitable and gracious and friendly to Reverend Catherine Davis, who preached last week. After the first service, I was texting her, told her she did a great job and all that, and she talked about how nice the people were at the 8:45 service, which really surprised me. But then again, I'm joking. And then I texted her after this service, and she said that y'all had been very gracious to her, and it was great. So I appreciate y'all being hospitable to her. It really was great. But last week, as I was listening to her, she talked about the verse that was not included. Y'all remember that? Were y'all here last week? The first service, they didn't remember that she mentioned the verse before that wasn't included about slaves. Well, I got to do the same thing, because this chapter or this scripture that I just read, I'm not sure why those who formulated the revised common lectionary, why they started with the second verse and not the first verse, in which I wanted to know what was in the first verse. Why would they leave that out? And the first word of the first verse of the second chapter is therefore. And that is a bad word to start with. Because if you're going to understand what's after the therefore, you have to read what's before the therefore. It's just the way it is. But the therefore is important. So I'm going to read a little bit more. I'm going to read from 1 Peter 1, 23 through the second chapter, the first verse, which gets us into the therefore. Because I think you need to know that to hear what we need to say about all that other stuff that I have already read about. So here is what it says, beginning in the 23rd verse. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, this is important. Rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. And then he starts with the second chapter. You see, the problem I have with starting with the second verse, it seems like we can walk into the second through the ninth verse and not worry about getting rid of all that other stuff. I am right all the time. I don't have to deal with the things y'all have to deal with, you heathens. You see, but if I don't cast out malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander and every kind, I cannot be a chosen people. I cannot be the part of the priesthood of all believers. I can't be the things and the people that we are called to be, and that is a community. Because this is about the body of Christ. And for us to be the body of Christ and be the body of Christ like Jesus wants us to be the body of Christ, we got to get rid of a lot of stuff before we get to the table. Amen? If Jesus wants us to get rid of that stuff, Peter writes it. And those who did not get rid of that stuff, they were the ones who didn't accept that stone. You know the stone that I read about? That stone that people denied that ended up being the cornerstone? You remember that stone? I just read about it. When we don't get rid of the things, those things, we will end up denying Jesus too. Because Jesus is not our cornerstone. Because we have envy and we have malice and we have all kinds of things going on in our life. And not only do we treat Jesus that way, my guess is when it says we have envy in our life, who do we envy? Who do we envy? The trees and the rocks? The ocean? No, we have envy against you and other people. We have malice against other people. Don't we? These are not abstract things. It's just I'm pulling them out of the sky. It's saying if we got envy and we've got malice and we've got anger and we've got all those things against people who Jesus has told us we are supposed to love. Amen. So for us to be the body of Christ, to us to be the priesthood of all believers, for us to be, we've got to make sure that we cast off, get rid of all that other stuff, because we cannot be who God calls us to be in the body of Christ with that other stuff bringing it in with us. It's important. Because the body of Christ is important. Community is important when it comes to faith. You might think Jesus was a loner. He was not. Jesus was a member. He was a Jew. He had a community of faith around him. It was his custom for Jesus to go to the synagogue. It says that in the Bible. As was his custom. He went to the synagogue. He had a group of people, a community of faith, a church, so to speak, around him. Jesus had disciples around him. He had the community around him. He had the multitudes around him. He had the other apostles, those 12. He had a Sunday school class around him. He had congregational care around him. He had a bunco. No, maybe not bunco. But he had a lot of things around him. He even had Peter, James, and John, people to hold him accountable, people that he could hold accountable. For us to be who God has called us to be, we need to be in community. Community is important. I think back to, March of 2020. Is that when everything fell apart? You know, we have members of our church that hadn't been back to church since we stopped meeting in 2020. We have failed them and they have failed us. Do we truly love them? Do we? Do we have envy? Do we have something against them? It's just a question. Is the community of faith important or not in our lives? Because we have an obligation to each other. I was thinking about my life, and I am so grateful that I had parents. Y'all know this, because I only know two or three things. I am so grateful for my parents that they raised me in the church. I have never been to church where there was not someone there to teach me, where there was not a Sunday school class for me. From my earliest years, when the church secretary kept the nursery, I can still remember the juice and the round sugar cookie with the hole in it and the saltine cracker. On Sunday night, when my parents were singing in the choir, I was sitting next to the church secretary many a night with my head in her lap going to sleep. Every time I have ever needed the church has been there for me. They received me back when I came back from the far country. I had people who always were there for me and my children to teach them. From very small to out of high school, out of college. When something happened, the church was always there. I have never had anything of importance that happened in my life that the church did not surround me, did not celebrate with me, ever. The body of Christ is the most wonderful gift that has ever been given to humanity. If you say it's not, we might need to be looking in the mirror. Because it's easy to say, well, the church hadn't been there for me, or I haven't been, you know, this has not happened, and this has not happened, and this has not happened. But somehow or another, there's a mutuality about it that somewhere along the way, in the casting away of those things and getting rid of all that stuff, we love differently. We care differently. Amen? We are supposed to be new creations because of what we have understand the wonderful gift that Christ has done for us. And for the church to be the church, we've got to make sure we cast off all those things. Koinonia, the intimate communion of believers, it's a part of our DNA. Even the disciples, on the day of the resurrection, they were meeting together. They were afraid, but they were meeting together. And they continued to meet together. On Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit showed up, they were meeting together. In Acts 2, we talk about and hear about them being there. All believers were together and had everything in common. They had cast off things that weren't important. The other night, I was having a conversation about, have any of you watched the series Yellowstone? I'll be praying for y'all. But there, the prequel to Yellowstone is 1883. Have any of y'all watched that? Tim McGraw and Faith Hill are in it. They're the main characters. It takes place after the Civil War. Tim McGraw's character was a prisoner of war at the end of the Civil War. They want to move to the Northwest. Some take a train to Texas, and he rides a horse, and they meet up there, and they're joining up with a wagon train of European immigrants who want to get to the great Northwest. They have a lot of junk they're carrying with them. Everything of value these Europeans got there, and they're saying, you need to get rid of that stuff. That is of no value for where you're going. You will die lugging this stuff around with you. You need to get rid of it. If you ever want to watch that show, think about the sins of our life or the things that those immigrants were taking with them. You can't go through the storms. You can't go through the creeks. You can't go through the rivers. You can't go over the mountains. You can't do so many things when you're lugging around stuff that's of no value. What's important for us to carry around? That's who we are. And in the midst of churchdom, We see the people who think they're more righteous than other people. Even in our own tribe, in our Methodist church, there are discussions, there are arguments, there's yelling, there's all kinds of things going on. Even in my home church, it's imploding. Everybody's right. Nobody's wrong. They really are. And then I stop and I think about what we're supposed to get rid of. Because it doesn't matter what you say. If you're a whatever traditionalist and you're talking down to the people who disagree with you, there's sin in that camp. And the people who are over here who are progressives and they're talking back, there's sin in that camp. Because in the midst of that, there is malice, there is deceit, there is hypocrisy, there is envy, and there is slander. There is. If you say otherwise, you have not allowed the Holy Spirit to work in you and to convict you of your own sin. I'm telling you, the body of Christ was meant to be unified. And that means for us to be who we're supposed to be, we got to get rid of a lot of junk. Because if we don't, the church will die. The sadness in my life, in my heart, is broken. The church that was there for me at every point in my life, through deaths, cancer, you name it, is imploding. Everybody's right. You're going to hell. Well, you'll join me. There are conversations about taking a facility and dividing it. Progressives get the old church and the sanctuary and the youth building. The traditionalists get the Family Life Center. Let's divide it up. And I think God's heart is broken. That we've come to a place where we cannot look at brothers and sisters in Christ and not love them. That's painful. And to be able to say that you're wrong or somebody else is wrong in what they believe, and to speak spiteful, malicious, and all the other things, that's unbelievable. I don't care what side you're on. Because we are supposed to rid ourselves of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. And we will not be ever the priesthood of all believers. We will not be a holy nation. We will not be who we're called to be until we do. Until we can love, surround each other with love and grace and mercy to do the things that we need to do together. That's the hard part about it. For many times, we don't want to get rid of the things we need to get rid of. And the rivers that we got to cross and the mountains we got to cross as individuals and as families and as a congregation, the reason we need to get rid of it is because there are times in your life that you cannot sing the songs. And I need to be able to sing them with you. But if I'm weighted down by the sins and envy and all that stuff, malice, I can't sing them for you either. And if I'm weighted down, it's a good chance I don't want to sing them with you. And if I'm weighted down and you're weighted down, you don't want to sing them for me. And that's not the church. That's not the body of Christ. May we, the people of Kingswood, be willing to rid ourselves of the malice that lives in all of us, the deceit, the hypocrisy, the envy, the slander of every kind. And when we do, we truly will be a priesthood of believers, making a difference not only here, but in our community and around the world. And when we do, when Christ invites us to his table, we can really come and experience the love that was in the acts and life and death of Jesus for us. Because Christ invites to his table all of us. All of us. It's good to come to the table with all of us. Amen.